It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw as they open the Bible and talk about themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Hi there and welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about the Bible and how the Bible affects us today. I'm John Bradshaw. With me is Gary Gibbs. Hi, Gary.
Hi, John. Today we're going to be talking about dynamite in the Bible.
Dynamite in the Bible?
Dynamite in the Bible. You know the story of dynamite, don't you?
Tell me the story of dynamite.
Alfred Nobel, the one who funded the Nobel Prizes, Nobel Peace Prize we often think of.
Kind of funny, isn't it? Nobel Peace Prize. Here's the guy who came with dynamite.
Well, he was a pacifist, and he created dynamite to actually stop war. He thought if he created something so destructive as dynamite, people wouldn't dare fight with each other because they could obliterate civilization.
Well, I got to give the guy some credit. We had that sort of scenario at the end of the Cold War, when the Soviets decided they wouldn't square off with the Americans anymore because they felt like they'd get obliterated. So perhaps his principle worked a little bit.
And one of the reasons he probably funded the Nobel Prizes is one day he woke up and he started reading the French newspapers to read his brother Ludwig's obituary, because he just died the day or two before. And the editor of the newspaper made a mistake. He thought that Alfred had died, and he wrote the obituary for Alfred. And the headline said, "The Merchant of Death is Dead."
Oh, really?
And here he was, a pacifist. He was a guy that was trying to promote peace and happiness. And they're calling him the Merchant of Death. It just depressed him. And he ended up leaving his fortune anyway to these Nobel Prizes.
He probably said something like Mark Twain said, "Rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated."
It was that day for sure. But, you know, the dynamite, where you find it in the Bible, is when Alfred Nobel created dynamite, he didn't have a name for it. So he went looking for a word to describe the explosive power of this chemical reaction that he had there. And so he came up with this Greek word dunamis, and dunamis is found in the Bible in Romans 1 verse 16, where it talks about the power of the gospel.
The Bible says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." So the Bible makes clear that this gospel in which we believe, this gospel we accept, is a gospel of power, great power, dynamite power.
And that's important to know as a Christian, because if we don't realize that, then as a Christian, we profess Christ, we do the things Christians do, but we might not be experiencing God's power to transform our lives. And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans 1 about the gospel. It has power to transform us. I've got a friend who mines gypsum in Nevada. And this is the first time I was exposed to dynamite. And yeah, I grew up playing with firecrackers and that type of stuff, but never with dynamite. And he took me to one of the gypsum mines, and he placed several sticks of dynamite in a hole in the ground, ran a cord, and we hit on the other side of the hill there, and he pushed the plunger, and kaboom! The mountain blew up. Rocks and dirt and everything went flying everywhere. I thought it was great fun. I mean, this was much better than throwing a few firecrackers in a hole. Well, he transformed the side of the mountain. And as Christians, when we accept the gospel in our lives, it changes us. John, you know, before I became a Christian, I cursed. I had all, you know, I did so many things. You know, I broke every one of the Ten Commandments.
Sure.
But when I accepted Christ, I didn't have to go about trying to change my life. God changed my life because the gospel came in. I didn't want to do those things anymore.
Many people I've spoken to talk to me about this on the subject of, well, let's just say smoking. They say, "I couldn't do it." I just said to God, "God, you have to do it for me. You have to do it for me." And when they prayed that prayer, said, "I can't, but you can," suddenly there was power in the life and the addiction was broken.
That's so true. And that is the power of the gospel. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus spoke, people said, "Wow, look at this. He speaks with authority. He speaks with power." When the disciples went out and they were preaching, they were given, according to Luke 9, power and authority over devils and cured diseases. In Acts 6, verse 8, the deacon Stephen was full of faith and power. He did great wonders and miracles among the people.
And what is that power? There is creative power in the Word of God, isn't there? In the beginning, God spoke, boom! The Big Bang Theory, if you like. He spoke and There was a big bang when suddenly something was created. He called something out of nothing by the power resident in his word. So if that word then were to get into my heart and my life, it's going to bring power. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So if I'm connected to Christ, I am connected with the source of all the power of the universe. It says in Hebrews, if I'm not mistaken, that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, I'm not scared that the sun is going to fall out of the sky.
You don't wake up every morning praying that God will keep the sun up there.
I don't sweat it. I'm not worried that the rings around Saturn are going to somehow fall off and come loose. Jesus is upholding them by the word of his power. So if that power can uphold the sun and the sky and the moon in its place and the rings around Saturn and Pluto right out there where it ought to be, that power ought to be enough to uphold me and you and anyone else looking for that power of God.
Now, is there a Bible text that talks about he is able to keep us from falling?
I tell you what, that
seems like I recall that in Jude, is it?
Jude verse 24. Now unto him who was able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. And it goes on. Jude 24 says there's power in God. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Power to keep us from falling? Now, hey, have you contemplated what this means here? That there's power in God to change your life, make you new, and empower you through his Spirit to live the life of Christ. Wow, now we're talking.
You know, I think this is an excellent time for us to tell our listeners that at the end of the program, we're going to give them a telephone number, email address, and a postal address where they can write or call and get our free offer today. Is it possible to live without sinning?
You want to get hold of this. This is power-packed. This will connect you with the power of God, the saving power of the grace of God. Is it possible to live without sinning? Call us, write us, you got to get it.
Now, we're always going to be sinners, John. And we do stumble, we do fall. It's like my little children who have to learn how to walk. And we have to learn how to walk with God. But, you know, if my little child, who I've got one now that's 19 months old as we're taping this, you know, if 2 years from now she's still walking 5 steps and falling, I'm going to take her to the doctor.
Yeah.
You know, if she walks 5 and falls and walks 5 and fall and walks 5 steps and fall, she's going to the doctor. Something's wrong. Some Christians are falling into the same old sins over and over and over and over again. They need to find this power, don't they?
Now, I've got to pull you up here a minute because you said we're going to give away a book called Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning? And then you said we're always going to be sinners. Now, would you like to clarify that just a little bit?
Well, we're sinners by nature, which means we're always going to be tempted.
We're always going to be tempted. And the truth of the matter is, once you're a sinner, you're always a sinner, right? If I live from now to the day I die without having sinned, I'd still have been a sinner.
And there are depths of temptation. There are different degrees of temptation. You know, I don't curse. I don't smoke anymore. I don't do drugs. I don't do a number of things. I don't go to some places I went to when I was a non-Christian. But I'm still tempted in other areas.
So what you're saying is we're always going to be prone. We're always going to be subject to temptation.
And God's always going to be revealing to us the depth of sin in our natures, and we're going to have to learn that, and we often, unfortunately, learn that through falling, but we learn how to surrender more and more and overcome. But, you know, let's get back to this power issue.
Sure.
As Christians, I think, though, we often settle for firecracker power, you know, just a little bit of power, a little bit of the evidence of God in our life. You know, as long as I'm not cursing, I'm not smoking and not drinking, well, for some people, they'd want a victory over that. Others wouldn't, and they could still be happy claiming to be Christians. But we get these minimum requirements to be a Christian in our mind, and different religions, different churches, different denominations have their basic minimum requirements. And then we're satisfied with that while we're neglecting the power of the gospel. We're kind of like that man in Romans 7 in some of the descriptions. You know, we're often like this. It describes our common experience where we say we know what is right, but we keep doing what is wrong. Oh, miserable man that I am.
And then St. Paul comes along and really caps this thing off. He said, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death in Romans 7 and verse 24? What an interesting story about where that phrase came from. Way back, they'd execute people, often murderers, by attaching them to the dead body of the person they'd murdered. Mm. And yeah, man, you can just imagine what's going to happen
while they're still alive. Chain them to this dead body?
Oh, man. And then after a while, I don't want to go there, but
death would bring death.
Death would bring death. Paul is saying, while I'm struggling with this and chained to this, where's the hope for me? He says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who now walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, here's what we've got to understand. A lot of people sell Jesus short. Mm-hmm. They've got a tiny conception, and they think far too small. When you become a Christian, you invite Jesus into your heart. What does he bring? He brings his righteousness, right? He brings his presence. Now, man, when the presence of Jesus comes into your heart, you just can't be the same again. For instance, the story in the Bible, Jesus enters the temple. He enters the temple and all the money changers and all the sinners flee. Mm-hmm. They run. What do they run from? Don't tell me they run from an angry face, a man turning over tables, a man with a whip in his hand. Come on, these were big, strong men. Were they going to be scared by a humble, peasant-looking fellow? No, man, they ran from the condemnation of his presence. When Jesus got into that temple, the sinners couldn't be there anymore, and out they went. Listen, when Jesus gets into the temple of your life, something's going to take place. Sin won't feel comfortable in there anymore, and the presence of Jesus is going to begin to drive this out.
You know, the problem we have too often, though, is we enjoy the temptation.
Now, come on, that's true.
And because we like that, we don't want the presence of God there. Reminds me of a true story came out of World War II when enlisted men in a Florida training camp were given an exercise. Their daily routine was to run an obstacle course with their packs on their backs.
Sure.
Of course, it's Florida. It's hot. It's the middle of the summer. It's humid. On the final stretch of this endurance test, they have to grab a rope and swing across a broad, shallow pool. Well, many of the men, for some reason, couldn't make it across the pool, and they would fall right down in the middle of the water.
Man, I reckon the reason they couldn't make it is because it was a nice hot day, and that was nice cool water.
You call it temptation. They were hot and sweaty, and they had this curious habit of just falling in the water until an enterprising lieutenant made that pond the new home for a large alligator.
Oh, okay.
And from that day on, the recruits left the ground several feet before the water's edge, and they fell sprawling in the dust well over on the other side of the pond.
They were motivated now.
Motivated. First case of Gatorade increasing athletic ability in men.
Gatorade. Okay.
But, you know, if we enjoy temptation, we're going to give into temptation. What we have to do is we have to look at the cross, and we have to see what sin does to God.
Right.
It put Jesus to death. And sin does the same thing to us, like that illustration of being strapped to the dead body. It destroys our quality of life. It destroys heaven's happiness, too. It caused the death of God's Son. And when we get a good long look at the cross, we will have a distaste for temptation and for sin. And then we'll find the way out is through Jesus Christ.
Don't forget, we want you to get our free offer today. Is it possible to live without sinning? Soon you'll hear the number and the address, and be sure to get this little book. It'll be a blessing to your life. Hey, I thank God there's power in Jesus. It's not just power. This is dynamite power. The dunamis that there is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where Jesus is, where his presence is, there is power. He wants to transform your life. He wants to give you a new experience. Victory where there is defeat. Joy where there is sorrow. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We're done right now. Join us again next time for more with Gary Gibbs. I'm John Bradshaw. This has been Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free, informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning? The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. Or email us at bibletalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.